Today is December 31st, the last day of 2017. Tomorrow is the first day of 2018. While this may be a completely man-made occasion, culturally, New Year's Eve is a big deal. We stand at the threshold. The old year is over, and the new year has not begun. Doorways symbolize the promise and opportunity of something new, while also marking the threshold from the known to the unknown. As we sit at the pivot point today, let us reflect on the effect of doorways in our lives and take a moment to savor the precious space in between. In life, there are two kinds of doorways. The one that we hope for and plan for and prepare for and are keenly aware of when we walk through it. And Marie is going to share one of her journeys through that type of doorway. The other type of doorway happens in small, seemingly inconsequential moments that strung together to take you down a path you didn't know was there and a path you never expected. That type of path and set of doorways is the story of how I became a pagan, and later a Unitarian Universalist hyphen pagan. Looking back, I can now see the small steps that led me to this spiritual place. When I was young, I tried out religions, Catholic, Lutheran, and then no religion, atheism. I see now that I was searching, but I had no idea what I was searching for. At the same time, I was reading lots of books, and my favorites involved fantasy lands with mythical beasts, daring heroes, and magical sages. The most influential book on my path was Myths of Avalon by Marion Zimmer Bradley. I picked it up because I liked the cover art, a woman riding a horse and carrying a long sword. Myths of Avalon is the story of King Arthur and the Round Table, with a significant twist. It is told completely from the perspective of the female characters. Although I didn't realize it at the time, this was my first glimpse at feminine spirituality. And I really liked it. I remember finishing the book and thinking, I was born in the wrong time. I wished that I had lived when the religion of the land was practiced, like it was in the story. I had no idea then that I wasn't alone. A few years later, a book called A Magical Almanac came into my life. This was my first hint that there were people practicing something called paganism or Wicca. I thought I had found a true doorway, as this book's publishing company was producing many more books on the same topic. It was pre-internet days, so I had to order through the mail and wait. I was really excited, and all the content of these new books was opening a world of thought and spiritual practice that I immediately knew was just right for me. Unfortunately, it was the 1990s, and every single book had a warning chapter. Don't tell your friends. Don't tell your spouse. Don't tell your boss. Don't tell anybody that you're into this. If you do, you will lose your job, you'll lose your family, the things that are important to you. Sadly, they were not just paranoid, and my husband at the time didn't allow me to practice openly or tell our kids or my family. So the door was open a crack, but not enough to be fulfilling. fast forward almost 10 years, and I found myself very deliberately walking through the door of divorce. I was aware of that door, but not what opportunities were on the other side. Since I was no longer required to hide my pagan side, I went looking for other pagans. I visited a pagan group once when I lived in Kansas City, and they practiced at a Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. You can see where this is going. So I thought those Unitarian people, they must be okay and accepting, and so I came here to the Fox Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. At the end of the service, I was greeted by Reverend Roger, who invited me to attend a workshop about UU. So I agreed and came back through the door for several weeknights of learning. The neat things about doorways is that you never know who you're meeting on the other side. And when you meet someone, you have no idea what role they will play in your life. At that class, I met Marie, who would become a dear friend of mine. I also met Todd Grimm. He would become my best friend, my champion, and my life partner. But the person who changed my life at that class was Ann Barker, the religious education staff person at the time. After sharing about our spiritual journeys, Ann said, "Oh, you must be a pagan." It was the welcoming and acceptance in her voice that made all the difference. For the first time in my life, I said out loud, "Yes, I am a pagan." And it was a wonderful moment, and I still get goosebumps saying it up here, just being able to be yourself. So I knew that I had found a place where I really could be me. So now I have been here over 10 years, and the doorways kept opening. I was given the opportunity to facilitate a pagan small group where I was the one welcoming and accepting folks coming to this fellowship. In that group, I made many more deep friendships, was introduced to books and learning opportunities, and was supported in my own spiritual growth. At this fellowship, I was given the opportunity at lay leadership for adult education. I attended trainings on deep listening, conflict resolution, and UU theology. Each of these opportunities was a threshold, something I had to take a chance on because I didn't know how it would turn out. What has been the most challenging opportunity from this fellowship so far? Today, standing on this stage in front of all of you, sharing my personal journey. I'm glad that I did it. I paused when I was writing this. What do I think my answer will be? So, what I thought at the time, and I agree with right at this moment, is that I don't know the answer. I don't think I'm going to know that answer until tomorrow or next month or next year, because I don't know how this experience will change me. But what I do know from the very bottom of my heart and soul is that I am the person I am, and I live a deeply spiritual life because I took the chance on walking through these front
doors. Thank you. In considering what to say this morning and reflecting on the recent winter solstice, a threshold between light and dark, I realize that I often celebrate my favorite holiday by highlighting the return of the sun. I realize that I need to also celebrate the time, as this quote states, of the soul and marrow of darkness in the extra long night. A threshold is a space of neither here nor there, this nor that, but a space of becoming. There have been a lot of thresholds in my life: relationships, leaving my family of origin, job changes, and I, being the optimist, look to the light in those changes. But the dark is an equally important aspect as well. Thresholds are, as the quote goes on to say, scary places, because they represent a crossing over into the unknown. Thresholds are not places to linger, but to rest in darkness before taking action. The biggest threshold of my life so far, the one I was equally most excited about and most terrified by, was parenthood. The threshold of this life change seems large and long as I've been reflecting on it. This is a universal experience, as many of us have had a child enter our lives in one way or another. And yet it is still an incredibly unique and personal experience. My wonderful co-parent Brian and I had tried to conceive for a very long time, to the point that I was ready to give up on carrying a child and find other ways of creating a family. But we tried a bit longer, and I successfully got pregnant. I took becoming a parent very seriously. I read tons of books and basically studied like I was back in school. I was more ready from the head or intellectually than I was from the heart or emotionally. And maybe this is always the case. Maybe no one can truly emotionally prepare for a change like parenthood brings. Having the privilege of carrying my child gave me physical changes of the oncoming threshold: his growing body, our connection, feeling his movements. They were all tiny steps of preparation. And then when he wasn't due for another 6 weeks, I went into labor. All of my plans for a particular kind of birth went out the window, and I was thrust very unexpectedly into the true threshold. From one moment of carrying this child and having my body know instinctively what he needed, to the next moment of needing to make some pretty important decisions, starting with his name. This question from the nurse caught we two shocked parents so off guard that Brian actually said, "Nathan?" Like he was asking the nurse for her permission. The before and after of this huge moment of my life included more medication than my body has probably ever held, and so the grieving process that I needed to go through didn't start happening until days after the actual event. For I did need to mourn those last days and weeks of a pregnancy that my body was due. The kickoff of that grieving process happened the day that I went home without Nate. He would stay in the children's hospital for almost 4 more weeks while his lungs continued to develop. That grief stayed with me much longer than I would have anticipated. About a year later, when Nate was healthy and happy and almost completely caught up from his preemie label, I had an errand to run at that same hospital that he stayed in for so many weeks. The smell of the soap in the bathroom drove me to my knees as the memories of those days flooded back. Clearly, that threshold in the hospital was powerful enough to live in my body long after I crossed it. In those weeks while Nate was in the hospital, the threshold stayed open, while all I could do was to be with him and try to feed him and watch him and wait. When he finally came home the enormity of what we had to do to keep this tiny being free from harm was overwhelming. I think all first-time parents and caregivers can share this experience. Are you really going to let us be alone with this child? Moving from non-parent to parent was a long process. And then once home, we had more to learn, more unknowns to face. Some things were still instinctual. Some learned from experts, and some had to be tested out and failed at and attempted again. Maybe some thresholds really contain never-ending new doorways for you to walk through. But your experiences can help allow them to get a bit easier until you hit those big ones, those big doorways. The brand new, never before experienced ones. For me and parenting, those big ones that I have experienced so far was when Nate went to daycare and spent his days away from me. His first day of kindergarten and becoming a single mom. Ones I anticipate going through include going to high school and driving and leaving home. To return to the quote I used at the beginning of this reflection, a threshold is a space of neither here nor there, this nor that, but a space of becoming. Thresholds are scary places because they represent a crossing over into the unknown. Thresholds are not places to linger, but rest in darkness before taking action. If I were to describe my doorway to parenting, I would say that I saw only darkness on the other side, the unknown. As I rested in the doorway, as the quote tells us that we need to do, I saw some possible points of light in the darkness. And once I made it through, I saw that those points of light were stars to help guide me, my friends, my family, my community, myself. I was no longer in the place of neither here nor there, this nor that, but I had become.